Well, welcome. My name is Viv. I'm also part of the leadership team here at City Valley in Airedale. It's lovely to have you. If you're a guest, you're so, so welcome. I hope you feel welcomed and at home. I'm just going to share for 10 or so minutes around the Christmas story. So Christmas is almost upon us, isn't it? Was it 3 days, 4 days to go? There's a season of anticipation and excitement. So in our house, we have three different Advent calendars, an Advent candle, an Advent book, which we work through every day. Presents are beginning to appear under the tree. The Christmas jumpers have been worn most days. They're a bit smelly by now. And I'm pretty sure I bought mince pies in October. Anybody earlier than me in October? No. There is such build-up, isn't there? There's such a build-up to these couple of days of Christmas. The John Lewis Christmas advert, it first aired on the 4th of November this year, and that seems to be the signal for the start of Christmas, doesn't it? That once you've seen the John Lewis advert, that's Christmas well up and running. So that is over 7 weeks of build-up. If we take John Lewis as our barometer of when Christmas starts, it's 7 weeks of build-up until Christmas Day. But what are we building up to? What are we building up to? Maybe it's all the delicious food and drink, which leaves us needing a nap during the King's speech. Or maybe we're looking forward to family coming to stay, or psyching ourselves up for the in-laws to come and visit. My in-laws are here, and I'm very much looking forward to having you, just to be rest assured. They're bringing the pigs in blankets, so I need to have them. Or maybe you're anticipating giving and receiving the perfect gift that you've been longing for and hoping for a long time. I know kids, that can be part of your Christmas, isn't it? You've been looking forward to a gift for a long time. And I'm looking forward to all of these things. But as Christians, the build-up to Christmas is about something else. It's about the birth of Jesus. But why? Why do we get excited and celebratory about the birth of a baby over 2,000 years ago? Now sure, babies are cute, but they don't do a huge amount, do they? And Jesus was no different. He was fully human. He slept, he cried, he went through teething, and I'm sure he kept Mary and Joseph up at night. But he was also fully God. And the promises over Jesus' life are far greater than anything ever spoken over any other child in all of history. These promises are things spoken about him before he was born are called prophecy. And there are over 300 of these in the Bible. They all point to Jesus and what he was to become. And some of these prophecies, some of these anticipatory declarations are over 700 years before he was born. That is 700 years of anticipation and of build up to the birth of a child. And we've heard some of these words already spoken this morning, or this evening, in the verses we've heard. But today I want to look at the words spoken to Mary and Joseph only a few months before he was born, as they are told about the son they're going to parent. Now, if you've ever been to a nativity recently, who's been to a nativity this year so far? Lots of you. You may well have heard of some of these words already. But the danger is that we rush over them. We rush over these words in the nativity story as just part of a nice tradition to have at Christmas, without really engaging with how powerful they actually are. So let's take a look at those words again now. So the angel Gabriel spoke to Mary saying this: "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." So Mary heard these words, and then her and Joseph would have had, I assume, quite an awkward conversation around this baby that she was now carrying. And then an angel appears to Joseph in a dream and says this: "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." What incredible words. What incredible words these are spoken about the unborn king. Nowadays, when we anticipate the birth of a child, we may say things like, I hope he has your eyes. Or, as I was told, I hope he doesn't have your nose. Thankfully, my children do not have my nose. But to be told that your child will be called the Son of the Most High, will be seated on the throne, that his kingdom will never end, and that he will save people from their sin. That's quite something to anticipate, isn't it? That's quite something to look forward to as your child arrives. What a lot of anticipation there'll be for that moment. And you'd be forgiven for thinking that the birth of Jesus was therefore going to be a major event, possibly a national holiday or a feast, maybe a countdown clock in the middle of Bethlehem, or a marketing campaign across all of Israel saying Jesus is coming. But no, Jesus' birth didn't signal a fanfare and a procession to the palace where he was crowned king. Instead, he was born in a room fit for a cattle, in a small backwater town, in the middle of an occupied country, to a teenage girl. In that sense, there was nothing remarkable or kingly about his birth. It was a very humble start. But in another sense, it is the most remarkable and important birth ever to have happened. It started the journey of Jesus fulfilling all that was spoken about him before he was born. So his birth kicked off everything that was said about him. All the prophecies made about Jesus and the words spoken by the angels to Mary and Joseph had been building up to the moment of his birth. All of those 700 years of waiting were building up to the day of his birth. It was the start of God's rescue plan for all of humanity. And the wise men knew this. Their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh weren't the most helpful gifts for a baby. Nappies, rattles and a buggy system would have been far more practical gifts for that baby. And if you were to see some of the presents given to me over the years, it would tell you something about who I am. Last Christmas I received waterproof trousers. For my birthday I received a hockey stick. And the year before that I got a hiking backpack. You can see that I love being outdoors, that I like competitive sport, and that I like camping. Similarly, the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, like the words spoken to Mary and Joseph, tell us something about who Jesus was to become. They tell us something about who Jesus was. Gold was a gift fit for a king. Yet the only crown that Jesus wore on earth was the crown of thorns at his crucifixion. And the only time he's publicly declared king is on a mocking sign that hung above his broken body on the cross. Jesus Christ was not accepted as a king while on earth, but he is now declared king and Lord over all. He's over all of heaven and all of earth, and he has the authority, and he rules, and he reigns. That is our king. Frankincense. It was an incense used in worship. It signified that Jesus was God and was worthy of our worship. This doesn't just mean singing songs to him. We might use the word worship as a sign of kind of a particular type of song, a worship song. But it means living our lives for him, focused on him, and seeking to follow his commands in all that we do. That's what it means to worship him. It's a whole life decision. And finally, myrrh. It was your spice used in burial. From the moment of Jesus' birth, anticipation was turned to his death. From the moment he was born, anticipation was turned to his death. His death was not a surprise or a tragic accident. It was always part of God's plan to save the world from its sin. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but will have eternal life. Jesus Christ, the baby born in a stable, grew up in the knowledge that he would one day die a sinner's death, so that all who believe in him shall repent of their sin and receive forgiveness and life in him forevermore. His life is celebrated with joy at Christmas. But if we leave him in the manger, if we leave it with baby Jesus, we've missed who he came to be. The Saviour of the world, he accomplished through his death. We have to follow the journey from the cradle to the cross. And it's at the cross that we're able to receive the greatest gift this Christmas. Jesus Christ chose the cross so that me and you may have our sin, that's our poor choices, our life lived away from God, forgiven completely. And in exchange, we're given a new life in relationship with God. The Bible says that's life to the full. It's life to the full we receive in God. And this is why we're so excited to celebrate the birth of Jesus this Christmas. Because it points forward to the promise of something so much greater. A new life and the forgiveness of all who believe. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. Yes, as a cute baby, but it points to something so much greater. His death on a cross. We're now going to hear the band play a song that follows this journey from the birth to death. And my prayer is that God will use the words I have spoken and this song to show you the love that God has for you. His desire for you to follow him. That he is King and he is Lord. He wants you to know that this Christmas.
What child is this who lies to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping?
John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.